The book of Judges, chapter 11, please. Our main character for the month of November is a man by the name of Jephthah. He's mentioned in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, as a great man of faith. And I'd like to look at his life. He's a little bit unorthodox, not the standard judge. There is a reason why he's in Hebrews chapter 11. The title of my sermon this evening comes in the form of a question. And the question is simply this: do you understand commitment? Do you understand commitment? Judges chapter 11, please, verse number 29 down to verse number 32. Judges chapter 11, verses 29 to 32. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah and Gilead. From Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord, and said, If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's. And I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask and pray as we meet for worship this evening that you would now fill us with your Holy Spirit, and that you would guide us and lead us into truth. And Lord, I pray that you would change us and transform us into the image of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Do you understand commitment? The word commitment is used very loosely today. Yet commitment is needed in every area of life. We need commitment within our homes. We need commitment within our churches. We need commitment within our personal lives. How committed are you spiritually this evening? I believe the answer to this question is the very reason why there is such a shortage of people in the work of the Lord. Because there is a lack of genuine spiritual commitment. There is an absence of genuinely committed people. So it's important that we understand what commitment is, and thereby we can ask ourselves, well, am I committed? And for those of us that would say, yes, I am committed, well, I'd like to encourage you this evening from the life of Jephthah how you can maintain that commitment. The life of Jephthah will help us to understand this principle of commitment. He was one of many deliverers for God's people. And the background to Judges chapter 11 is that God's people are being oppressed by the nation of Ammon. And once again, God's people cry out for help. And God, in his graciousness, sends a man by the name of Jephthah. The Bible teaches us this man is from a place called Gilead. Gilead was a mountainous area, a hard, rocky region to the east of the Jordan, some 2,000 to 3,000 feet above sea level. Jephthah was a mountain boy. place called Gilead. In fact, Elijah came from that same area. It was an area that produced a number of prophets of God. Now, as we study the life of Jephthah, I'd like for us to just take note of a few little principles concerning his life. Who was Jephthah? Well, the Bible teaches us he came from Gilead. We've stressed that already. Go back to verses 1 and 2, please, of Judges chapter 11. The Bible gives us some further insight concerning this man. Now, Jephthah, verse 1, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor. And he was the son of a harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up. And they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Now the Bible teaches us that this Jephthah was an illegitimate son within his family. And the Bible teaches us that he had several half-brothers. And when they reached a point of maturity, the Bible teaches us that they threw Jephthah out of the household. And they not only threw him out of the home, being the son of a harlot, they also said to him that you have no inheritance within our family whatsoever. And the Bible teaches us in verse number 3 that Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob, and there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. So this young man had an unfortunate start to life, the child of a harlot, and his stepbrothers at a mature age threw him out of home and said, you have no inheritance with us. And so he became a wild character. In fact, he bred after his own kind, and the Bible teaches us that he lived amongst a lawless group of individuals there in the mountains of Gilead. Well, the Bible goes on to read in verse number 7 that for the sake of time, basically what's happened is that in the process of time, the people of Ammon, verse number 4, have oppressed God's people. So the leadership within the town of Gilead seek Jephthah to help deliver them from the hands of the Ammonites. So this poor young man was thrown out of his home, was thrown out of his people, has lived in the mountains for a number of years. Meanwhile, the Ammonites have been oppressing God's people for some 18 years. And God's people cry out unto God for deliverance. And God leads the elders or the leadership within Gilead to call back Jephthah to deliver them from the hand of the Ammonites. Look at verse number 7, please. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, Did not ye hate me? And expel me out of my father's house? Why are ye come unto me now when you are in distress? So Jephthah is absolutely surprised that his people find themselves in distress, and here is the leadership of Gilead wanting his help. And he said to them, Didn't you guys throw me out? Now you're wanting me to help you? Look at verse number 8. And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, Therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. So the elders of Gilead said, Yes, we did once upon a time throw you out, but we'd like to plead with you, will you please lead us in delivering us from the hand of the Ammonites? And we want you, Jephthah, to be our leader. So with that, Jephthah asks for a commitment from the leadership, and the leadership make a commitment to Jephthah that yes, you will be our delivering judge. We will do what you say. We will follow your guidance. So it's with that background that the Bible teaches us from verses 12 to 28 that Jephthah decides to try and work this situation out with the Ammonites. He tries diplomacy. He tries to reason with the Ammonites. And we find a record of that from verses 12 to 28. Brother Yang, could you just turn it down a little bit? Thank you. So from verses 12 to 28, he tries to reason with the children of Ammon. To no avail. There's no point of reasoning, unfortunately, and that's affirmed there in verse number 28. Look at verse 28. Howbeit the king of the children of Ammon hearken not unto the words of Jephthah, which he sent him. So now Jephthah has to turn to God for divine intervention. And it's within this passage until the end of the chapter, I'd like for us to focus upon the fact that Jephthah was a man of commitment. And one of the great qualities within the life of this individual that had a very unfortunate beginning was that this man was committed to a cause. And I'd like for us to note some lessons specifically about the subject of commitment. Commitment. Now the first lesson I'd like for us to note, that as Jephthah places himself before the Lord, he can't reason with the leadership of Ammon. They won't reason with him in any way. So he is forced to go to God for power in order to lead God's people in delivering the nation of Israel, God's people, against the Ammonites. And note then verse number 30, the Bible teaches us that Jephthah vows a vow unto the Lord. Now the first lesson I'd like for us to note this evening from the life of Jephthah concerning this issue of commitment is that Jephthah made his commitment to God. He made his commitment to God. His commitment was directive. His commitment was to God. Verse number 30, and Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord. And this is the first lesson I'd like for us to note this evening that is absolutely critical if we are to be a committed people and to exercise true biblical commitment. Jephthah made his commitment before his God. It is God who wants commitment. Am I right or not? Commitment will be evident when you and I come face to face with the fact that our spiritual commitments are before God. The person of God. Now, many do not keep their commitments simply because they have lost sight of to whom they make that commitment before. Now bear with me. They make a commitment, but they have lost sight, or they never made that commitment with the person of God before them. See, Jephthah made a vow unto God. It was the person of God in his life that empowered him to maintain his commitment. The Bible uses the word vows, that he vowed a vow
unto the Lord. Vows are permanent bindings, permanent commitments. In the book of Ecclesiastes, please, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, it gives us some insight concerning the making of a vow. In verses 4 and 5, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. The sacredness of a vow is commonly used today within the context of marriage. And we use the word vows to convey that these words are permanently binding. And the Bible teaches us that Jephthah vowed a vow unto God. So to make a vow, to make a commitment verbally, a vow conveys a thought, this is permanent. It is before God. There's no turning back. I think the idea of renewing your vows is a lovely idea, but it's not biblical. Because a vow is a vow. That's the whole idea of a vow. You make a vow, that's it. It's absolute. So, my point is this. If we are to be and understand commitment, we must have the person of God in view. And I believe if we bear in mind that as we maintain our commitment is to God Himself. See, Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord. It was directed towards his God. And brethren, this evening, when we consider all that God is, that God who is our Savior, is our Lord, He is our Creator, He is our Sustainer, He is ever faithful, He is merciful, He is forgiving. Praise God, we serve a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And brethren, we would find ourselves more committed if we bear in mind that that commitment, that so-called spiritual commitment, wasn't just made into thin air. It was made to the person of God. Jephthah was a committed man because he vowed a vow unto the Lord. So there was direction there. His commitment was to God. It was God that helped him maintain that commitment. And I believe for God's people, I believe that many of God's people that talk about commitment have yet to really make a commitment because their commitment has not been made before God. And I'd like to encourage you this evening, if we keep God central to our minds, that He is the one before whom we make this commitment, that will enable us to be committed. So that is the first lesson I'd like to stress this evening concerning commitment. It's the person of God. It needs to be directive towards God. Secondly, I'd like for us to note in verse number 30 that he makes this commitment before God, vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, note this, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands. The first principle of true commitment involves the person of God. It's directive. It's to God. And that'll keep you committed. Secondly, it is not only the person of God, it is the purpose of God. Jephthah said, I'm committed to you, God. And I'm committed to you, God, to deliver my people from the hand of the Ammonites. There was a purpose in view. When we understand that commitment is not an end in itself, there is always a purpose in view. And as we keep that purpose in view, that will empower you and I to remain committed. So there's got to be purpose. If there is no purpose, then your so-called commitment will fade out. See? Jephthah made a commitment before the Lord. To what end? To deliver God's people from the hand of the Ammonites. There was a purpose in view. Jephthah's commitment to God was for the purpose of delivering God's people from the hand of the Ammonites. He had a calling from God. And this was foundational in the life of Jephthah. This will fuel Jephthah to maintain his commitment because he has a purpose. He has a reason for his commitment. And may I submit to you this evening that purpose fuels commitment. Purpose fuels commitment. If there is no purpose, if you don't know what your purpose is, what your calling is, then your so-called commitment will fade. Yes, it will. I've seen it time and time again. So you've got to establish in your mind, what is it that God has called me to do? You've got to establish in your mind, what is the calling of God upon my life? See in Acts chapter 20, please, for a moment. Acts chapter 20. The Apostle Paul was a man of commitment. And that's evident. I don't think we need to debate the issue. He was committed. He was willing to die for what he believed. This man was committed because he had a life purpose. And here before the pastors of the church at Ephesus in verse 26 and 27, he said, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So the Apostle Paul understood his purpose. And that purpose drove him. And brethren this evening, if we are to be a committed people, if we are to understand commitment, we need to understand that our commitment is before God. And secondly, if there is to be lasting biblical commitment, then there has to be a purpose in view. That's why often you'll read in the epistles of the great apostle Paul, for example, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, he makes reference to praying for these believers that they might be filled with the knowledge of God's will. He prayed for believers that they might know the will of God. Now, why was he so stressed about that fact? Because he understood, unless you know what your purpose is, why will you and I be ever committed? You've got to know what you're meant to be doing. You've got to have purpose. Jephthah had purpose. He was committed because he had purpose. He said, God has called me to deliver my people from the hand of the Ammonites. That fueled his commitment. See? Are you with me? We need committed parents. And parents, we will not be any more committed than what we comprehend and accept as our purpose. We need committed spiritual leaders. We need committed teachers. We need students that are committed because they see that my studies is not an end in itself, it's a means to an end. See? Purpose. The person of God. And thirdly this evening, I'd like to stress the fact that Jephthah had people watching over his shoulder, i.e. Israel. Because Jephthah is commissioned with the responsibility of leading God's people in deliverance from the Ammonites. The word peer pressure comes to mind. In chapter 11, verses 7 to 11, under the guidance of the leadership from Gilead, they are looking to Jephthah to deliver the people of Israel from the hand of the Ammonites. So this leadership that has approached Jephthah and the people of God are looking to Jephthah to deliver them from the Ammonites. This is what I call peer pressure. Peer pressure can be negative. There's negative peer pressure, but there is positive peer pressure. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Bible teaches us that we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. And as we consider those that have gone before us, that have run the race of faith, that ought to inspire us to keep on keeping on. That's positive peer pressure. See? And the point is this that I'm trying to get to this evening. We need committed people, and I believe we'll have committed people when we understand that our commitment is before God. Our commitment is for a purpose, and we are mindful there are people looking on. There are peers looking on. Jephthah had the elders of Gilead watching him like a hawk. The people of Israel watching him like a hawk. This motivated Jephthah to be committed. Because he knew there were people watching him. And brethren, this evening, we need to be mindful that we are not islands. We infect or affect others. And there are people watching you, watching every move you make. And parents, our children are looking at you and they're looking for Jesus Christ. They're looking to see Jesus Christ fleshed out. We in spiritual leadership, we have people that are looking at us and they're looking for Jesus Christ fleshed out. This should motivate us to be committed because there are peers out there that are looking to you and I. Most of us carry on as if we're the only person that exists in the whole wide world. Fair dinkum. The attitudes we have, pathetic at times. Some of the things we say, some of the things we do, don't we realize that they all have consequences? And if we are to be a committed people, we need to just carry the load and be mindful of the fact there are people watching us. And if we can take that as from God and just allow that to fuel us and to motivate us, I've got to be committed because my children are watching me. They're watching me. I've got to be committed. They're watching me. those that I lead, they're watching me. Somebody's watching you. And I believe that Jephthah was a man of commitment because he was mindful that I better keep my word. I better get the job done because they're all watching me. That should drive us to commitment, should it not? Lesson number four. So lesson number one, in understanding commitment, we must have the person of God in view. If you will keep God before you as the one that you make your commitment before, that'll help to keep us on track. Oh, Pastor, it's not very profound. I know it's not, but it's basic. But it's true. Number two, purpose. Work out what your purpose is, and that will fuel your commitment. It should. Thirdly, peer pressure. Take note of all those that are watching you, looking to you. Yes, to you. That should fuel commitment as well. Well, the Bible goes on to teach that in verse number 31, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it for a burnt offering. So basically here in verse number 31, Jephthah makes a commitment. He said to the Lord, Lord, if you will grant me victory over the Ammonites, if you will grant me the grace to deliver your people from the hand of the Ammonites, then I will offer to you a burnt offering, the first thing that enters into the door of my home. Well, let's read on. Verse 32, so Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. Verse 33, and he smote them from Aol even till thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities. What a great victory. 20 strongholds. Man, this guy was a superman. God empowered him by his spirit. 20 cities unto the plain of the vineyards with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house. And behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dancers. And she was his only child. Beside her he had neither son nor daughter. Verse 35. And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low. Thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. Look at verse number 36, please. And she said unto him, my father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth, for as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon. Jephthah makes a commitment to God and said, in essence, God, if you will grant me victory, I will sacrifice to you what comes through the doors of my house to meet me first and foremost. He makes that commitment, does he not? Don't fall asleep on me yet. I'm getting to my punchline. So Jephthah makes this commitment to offer a burnt offering unto God, the very first thing that enters his home post-victory. And lo and behold, Jephthah hasn't long been at home, and therein walks his only daughter. And he is distressed by the fact that he has made a commitment, and as he said, I cannot go back. Look at verse 39 and 40. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow which he had vowed. And she knew no man, and it was a custom in Israel, that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in a year. Question. Did Jephthah sacrifice his daughter? What does the Bible say? Did Jephthah sacrifice his only daughter? Did Jephthah commit a human sacrifice, though it was forbidden according to Jewish law? Well, what did he say? He said, God, if you deliver the Ammonites into my hand, I will offer to you a burnt offering, the first thing that enters my home. Question, did Jephthah sacrifice his daughter? What does the Bible say? Talk to me. Of course he did. Let me do the talking. He made a commitment to God. God, if you will give me the victory, whatever comes into my home, first and foremost, I will offer it as a sacrifice unto you. And when she walked in, rejoicing and happy, that, hey Dad, God's given you the victory. That's wonderful, Dad, God's given you the victory. He was distraught by the fact, oh no, this is my only daughter, and I made a commitment to God. I'm going to sacrifice to God the first thing that enters my home if God gives me the victory. And in his distress, he said to his only daughter, I've made a commitment to God. Can't go back. Now, if you read Bible commentators, they'll confuse you. They'll make all sorts of excuses as to why he didn't. But what does the Bible say? The Bible teaches he did. Does that mean that God endorsed human sacrifice? No. What's the issue? He made a commitment. And he followed through. God never sanctions human sacrifice. And I can assure you that Jephthah is not in Hebrews chapter 11 because he sacrificed his daughter. He is in Hebrews chapter 11 because this was a man who was a man of commitment. A man of commitment. God never sanctions human sacrifice. And the Bible teaches us in verse number 39, who did with her according to his vow. That's plain King James English. Now, what did he do to her? Well, the Bible teaches us he made a commitment to offer up for a burnt offering. And as one author said, the phrase burnt offering is mentioned some 250 times in the Bible. Every single time it is a literal burnt offering. So why would this be any different? It's a bit perplexing, isn't it? You know, each time I read this, I think, oh, not again. I've got to read about Jephthah. Very perplexing. But commitment is a bit perplexing. Sometimes the commitment of people can be a little bit perplexing. And when you and I choose to commit, you'll have people question the wisdom of what you're doing. You'll have people say to you, oh, you're throwing your life away. What a waste. Throwing your life away, you're throwing your career away, what a waste. Let me tell you why they're perplexed, and let me tell you why they make such statements, because they don't understand commitment. So for those that look on, commitment can be a little bit perplexing, but as far as Jephthah was concerned, he made a commitment. He said, this is what I will do, and I will do it, and that's exactly what he did. Does God ever sanction human sacrifice? Of course he doesn't. But the point is this, he was committed. He made his commitment before God. He had a purpose in mind. He understood that people were watching him, and he understood that he had to honor his commitment, no matter how it might seem. And you and I to this day scratch our heads as we read Judges chapter 11, wondering, did he really sacrifice his daughter? And then as I do year in, year out, I pull out all the commentaries and I read all the commentaries and I read of all these excuses that would say, no, he didn't really sacrifice her. He just committed her to the temple as a female temple servant. So therefore, she couldn't get married and she couldn't have kids. And it's just like, it's as if she was dead. But where's that in the Bible? Where is that in the Bible? My point is this, brethren, don't worry, children, we're not encouraging your parents to sacrifice you as a human sacrifice. Relax, you know? Smile again, all right? It's okay. No, we're not endorsing that, but the point is this, Jephthah made a commitment and held on to that commitment, followed through on that commitment, but those that looked on, in his day, and we that look on, even today, are perplexed by what he did. But the point is this, Jephthah was committed. And when you and I are committed, there will be some that will be a little bit perplexed about the outflow of that, what that means. You know, I still have people say to me, oh, you've just thrown your life away. You've wasted your life. I still have my brothers and sisters looking at me as if I'm a Martian. weird. Weird. This guy's weird. See, commitment is a bit perplexing to those that are not spiritually minded. And this is perplexing if we fail to be spiritually minded. The Bible teaches us he made a commitment, he followed through in his commitment. Did Jephthah sacrifice his daughter? Talk to me. That's what the Bible says. God doesn't honor that, but God honors the commitment. And that's what God's after, commitment. And when you and I choose to commit our hearts to the Lord, let me warn you, there will be some that will be a little bit perplexed about what you're doing. Might even criticize you and say to you, you're going bananas, you're going nuts, you've been brainwashed, you've joined a cult and the rest of it. But that's okay. So Jephthah got into Hebrews chapter 11. Let me ask you, if God gave you the option of being recorded in His holy word, I would like to think, that most of us would say, Lord, if I've got any say in the matter, will you please put me in Hebrews chapter 11? Now really, Lord, I'd like to be mentioned in any part of your word, but my preference is Hebrews 11 for the big guns. I'm telling you, Jephthah was placed in Hebrews 11 for a reason. He was committed. And this is what we need today, do we not? How can we be committed? Understand that your commitment is before God. Number two, understand your purpose. That will fuel your commitment. And thirdly, be mindful of those that are watching you. See, one of the drives in my life as a pastor is the fact that people are watching me. I live in a goldfish bowl. And I've told my children, welcome to the party. You do as well. But that's not altogether negative. So do you. You just have a different bowl. We all have our bowls. I have my bowl, you have your bowl. People are watching you just like they're watching me. And if we would be mindful that that can be a blessing and drive us to be a people of our word and a people of commitment. Do you understand commitment? I hope you understand it a little bit better tonight. Let's bow for prayer.